The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is your host, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And we're so happy that you're with us today right here on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. You can always get in touch with us at naturalnurse.com or at Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And we'd love to hear your comments. We love getting your comments, and we do, from all over the world. It's amazing that Progressive Radio Network is growing in terms of its reach internationally. And that's because at Progressive Radio Network, you can visit any of our shows on the archives anytime, day or night. And I find that as just a great addition to Gary Knowles Network, bringing you the best information in natural and progressive living. And today on The Natural Nurse, we have as our guest Dr. Earl Mindell. Dr. Mindell is a pharmacist and has authored over 45 books on health and nutrition.
Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. If the Democrats are going to cave in to the Republicans' extortion gambit for the rich, the least the Dems could do is to bargain a little bit harder, not just for the long-term unemployed this go-round, but for a permanent extension of unemployment benefits, especially given the no-end-in-sight reality of no jobs. But let's not stop there. Let's actually create jobs for these 15 million Americans and more. The Dems should propose that the government hire the unemployed to put up solar panels on every single government building in the country and repair the bridges and fix the roads. Let's put that on the bargaining table in exchange for tax cuts for the rich. And while we're at it, let's put on the table raising the minimum wage to $10 an hour, which 80% of the American public support. And let's put on the table a $200 increase for everyone on Social Security whose incomes have been frozen over the last 2 years. How about a little pushback here? How about testing just how desperate Republicans are to reward their wealthy base? My hunch is they're pretty desperate. So rather than have the Republicans extort benefits for the top 2%, let's extort benefits for everyone else and get this economy going in the process. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
And welcome back to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We were just introducing our guest, Dr. Earl Mindell. Earl Mindell is a pharmacist and has authored over 45 books on health and wellness. He is a strong advocate of natural interventions, including nutrition and homeopathy. As a nutritionist, lecturer, and author, Dr. Mindell is excited about the world of nutrition and its relationship to health and wellness. In 1965, when Dr. Mindell opened his first pharmacy, he realized how many drugs people were taking simply to get through the day. As he investigated nutrition, he was excited about its relationship to health and wellness and decided to focus on wellness instead of sick care through drugs. He then wrote his groundbreaking book, The Vitamin Bible, which I'm sure most of you have in your library, and many more books to follow. Today, we're happy to discuss with Dr. Mindell his newest book called The Nutrition Bible. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Mindell.
Pleasure to be on the show.
Now, I had you on our show. You know, we've been doing radio since 1990, so you have been on before, and you have been such an advocate of using nutrition for so many years.
Yes.
Don't you find that the science is really catching up now to where there's just no question that it's the way to go?
Well, it's not only that, but I think the money is catching up. It's costing us a fortune to keep people sickly, and it's getting worse. I mean, let's be realistic. There's 33 Western countries. We are the number one country of the 33 when it comes to being overweight. And that, of course, leads to a problem, which I talk about in the Nutrition Bible, called diabesity. When you're obese, your chances of becoming diabetic are much greater. And it looks like, if the statistics are correct, that by the year 2040 or so, there'll be twice as many diabetics as there are now in the United States.
And don't you find, Dr. Mendel, that people speak about it as an epidemic, as if you walk along and you catch it?
Well, it's more like a pandemic. It's past the epidemic. Yeah, I think the problem is that we only talk about doing something after it happens. No one talks about preventing it or educating the public. And that's really what I try to do. And it's not an easy thing to do, because you have the big pharma, the big drug companies. You have the big processed food, the fast food restaurants, and all the other people. They want exactly opposite. They want you to basically consume their 3,800 calories they produce a day and all the drugs that they're producing.
Now, the name of your book, the full name, is Dr. Earl Mendel's Nutrition Bible, The Straight Skinny on Fad Diets, Good Carbs, Good Fats, Good Proteins, and How to Opt Out of the Diabesity Epidemic. So that's, in a nutshell, what you focus on in this book.
Yes. I have, like all my 10 core principles. One of them, of course, is to drink a liquid that is almost not too well known in America, yet it probably is the most important thing you put in your body every day, and that's called water. And that sounds kind of wild, but if we could get people to drink enough water, and the way to find out how much you need is take your weight divided by 2, that gives you how many ounces per day. You don't have to drink the whole glass at a time, but if you get in the habit of sipping water, water will absorb some of the fat in the bloodstream, keeps your skin nice and clear, and also it helps you to overcome, a lot of times you think you're hungry, you're really dehydrated. And, of course, if you're taking certain drugs, the diuretics and the heart drugs, that can cause a loss of fluid. And many of the caffeinated beverages that Americans are drinking, that also is a natural diuretic. Diuretic is a drug that causes a loss of fluid.
Now, do you make recommendations in terms of what kind of water? Because, unfortunately, what comes out of the tap is not always so great, and then there's the problem with bottled water. So what do people do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I talk about buying a very inexpensive filtration device and filtering your tap water, because most of the impurities in water are gaseous, so you can easily filter it out, and it costs very little to do this. It's not difficult at all. I don't recommend drinking tap water, no, but I do recommend filtered water.
Well, that's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your book, you talk about fat. But, you know, that word has so many meanings. How come eating fat, people think by eating fat, you know, all the time I'll see these big fat people, and I have to say I'm in pretty good shape because I've been working at this my whole life, but they'll see me eating an avocado. And they'll say, how can you eat an avocado? It's going to make you fat. And, like, look at us.
Well, those are the good fats. You see, what I try to do in the Nutrition Bible is to tell people about the difference between the good fats and the not so good. Fortunately, one of the fats that is pretty deleterious, the trans fatty acids, is now either eliminated or on the label, so you can read labels and find out. If it says trans fatty acid, drop the product. Don't even come near it. But here's a fat called omega-3 fatty acids that is not only essential, but is very, very beneficial in that it is an anti-inflammatory, and we're finding out that the diseases that are killing us in the 21st century are inflammatory diseases. So either you eat fish, such as wild salmon, mackerel, cod, halibut, bass, albacore, tuna, sardines, anchovies, which of course is almost unheard of in the country, or take a supplement of omega-3 fatty acids on a daily basis.
And how could you tell if you're getting a supplement that does not have heavy metals in it, let's say?
Read the labels. Simple as that. You see, the Food and Drug Administration now is very, very strong with called Good Manufacturing Procedure, GMP. So all the labs now have to be adhered to this GMP. And they wouldn't allow any type of heavy metals in these fish oils because it would be detrimental and people could sue them. So you got to use common sense here. Find out from the company if there are any statistics on how much these so-called heavy metals. But that's not the problem. The problem is, you see, we've been we're hearing that fish can be detrimental, but we never hear anything about meat or cattle or pork because, you see, they have strong lobbies in Washington that protect them. I would say that the chances of someone having problems with fish are pretty slight compared to many of the... Well, what do we eat more, fish or meat?
Yeah, most people eat more meat.
Yes, and it's killing us. I mean, we should do like maybe the Chinese or the Japanese where meat is strictly like a condiment. But if you want to live the longest, by the way, in the world, move to the island of Okinawa, which is the southern tip of Japan, southern tip islands of Japan. Their diet is very atypical American. They eat soy. They eat fish. They don't eat very much meat, and they live much longer. And also in the United States, the people who live the longest are the people called the Seventh-day Adventists. If you haven't heard of them, they don't eat meat. They eat soy products. They don't drink caffeinated beverages. They don't drink alcohol. They don't smoke cigarettes. And they live about 8 to 10 years longer than the average American. And by the way, pretty frightening, our life expectancy dropped a little bit this year.
I heard that. That was actually on the news recently.
Yeah.
First
time since 1963. No, I don't think it's surprisingly at all. I think that we're going to find a generation now that is not going to live as long as the one before because, once again, about two-thirds of adults are overweight, a third of them are obese, a third of the children are overweight, and how do you like this one? 40% of the American dogs are overweight.
You know, I never heard that one before, but you certainly can see
well,
that when you see
they're eating the same food as people are. You know, we take in general we take better care of our dogs and cats, automobiles, rose bushes, and front lawns than we do ourselves. So wake up. I mean, it's a new year coming up in just a couple of weeks. Start taking better care of yourself. Start reading the labels. Start eating organic foods. Start basically taking a vitamin mineral supplement because there's no way you're going to get enough in your diet. I mean, it's so obvious.
That's so true. Now, you talked a little bit about fats and looking for actually increasing the good fat, not worrying about gaining weight because of that. But what about bread?
Well,
supposedly the staff of life.
Most of the bread. There's one particular bread. I think it's back on the market called Wonder Bread. It's a wonder they call it bread. I recommend eating the wrapper instead of what's inside. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of these things. The three killers in the country are white bread, white flour, white salt, and white sugar. And you'll find that most of those breads have white sugar and white flour in it, and probably have salt as well.
So, you know, bread is, people think of bread, you know, they're going, I'm not eating Wonder Bread, but what about if you eat, like, a bagel in the morning, a sandwich in the afternoon, pasta for dinner? All that is in that realm.
Exactly. That's why we are slowly but surely gaining weight and getting fatter and fatter. If you're going to get bread, get the whole grain bread. Now, this is not easy for people to understand because I get people say, oh, I eat whole wheat. No, not whole wheat, whole grain. It should say 7 or 10 grains. You couldn't eat more than a slice of that. And the whole wheat, whole grain, pasta, et cetera, fine, but it's not easily available. You have to go into specialty type stores.
Well, it is available, though. And I didn't say it's not easily available. Right,
it's available, but the majority of people have to be educated to look and see what they're buying. You see, I feel that we should be teaching our children about how to shop in grocery stores and how to read labels, and we're not.
And that is the best defense, because when you read labels, there can be products that are very different from each other. For instance, let's say it says whole wheat bread, but you read the label and you see there's tons of sugar, preservative, dough conditioners, toxic chemicals, carcinogens in that bread.
And it's whole wheat flour. Once again, I recommend the whole grain breads and cereals. If you want to save 40% of your grocery shopping, start reading labels. And you'll find that many of the products that you bought before, you will put back. In fact, that's one of the core principles of in the book, The Nutrition Bible, about reading labels. Open up your refrigerator and start to read the labels of all the products you see in the refrigerator. You'll be amazed at what you're seeing. And by the way, look for OSE at the end of the word. That signifies one of the sugars. And we're doing a really bang-up job about eating sugar in this country, 161 pounds per person per year.
That is amazing. How do they figure that? That's so much.
How do they figure
how much that is?
No, it's real simple. In a typical 20-ounce soft drink, there's 14 teaspoons of sugar. So you're getting sugar in everything, and you don't even realize it. In fact, there could be 5 or 6 different sugars on the list of ingredients. If you add them up, they are the majority of the product. So once again, OSE. And people say, oh, I don't drink that sugar soft drink. I drink the artificially the sucralose or whatever. We found out that that seems to help to cause people to gain weight because the brain is saying, hey, I'm not getting any sugar in this sweet drink, so I got to get it from somewhere else. Water, W-A-T-E-R, filtered water is the way to go. I've never seen anybody who's overweight that drinks enough water.
Well, that's a real key that I see from you. But, you know, again, so often, let's say you read your labels. You must read the back because let's talk about peanut butter, for instance.
Yep.
There are things that even say right on the front, natural peanut butter.
Correct.
And when you turn it around and read the ingredients, it has sugar.
Well, because
sugar, other ones don't. It just has peanuts.
Right.
So there's a big difference there.
Exactly. Sugar in the United States is considered natural. So you're right. You've got to read the label, and you can go into a grocery store and find one that has no sugar, and in fact, also has salt, a little salt added too. But in general, most of the peanut butter that people are eating has no relationships to peanuts. It's all vegetable oil that have been changed. In fact, it's hard to believe, but 75% of the foods you see in your grocery shelves, on your grocery shelves, has been genetically modified. 75%. And they don't have to tell you.
I know, and that is a shame. And they're trying to push that same agenda in Europe now because they find when it is labeled, then people choose to not get it.
Exactly. That's why they don't want it labeled. So it's a major problem, but we've got to do something. You know, our First Lady, Michelle Obama, is now trying to get in the inner cities people to get a plot of land there where they can grow vegetables. It's because they know that if we eat the vegetables, the fresh vegetables, that we'll have less sick days and et cetera. Well, guess what? Hard to believe this, but 1941, December 7th, that wasn't too long ago, in December, that when they bombed Pearl Harbor, the government at the time knew that the workers would have to become very efficient at what they were doing and try to prevent any sick days. So they gave all the workers a plot of land where they could grow their vegetables, etc. They called it a victory garden, right?
Yep.
Okay,
great idea.
Yeah, great idea. But what people don't know, and of course I'm a great student of history, is that the government also gave the workers a vitamin formula. They called it Vitamins for Victory.
No, I didn't know that.
Of course not. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that they knew 70 years ago that if you gave people a multiple vitamin mineral that they would be healthier and have less sick days. We are in a country that survives on sickness. In fact, the so-called health care, it's not health care, it's sickness care. It has nothing to do with health whatsoever.
Wow. What was in that vitamin formula I wanted?
It was a multiple vitamin. It was a multiple vitamin and mineral. It was well known back then, and now 70-odd years later, we're eating our Twinkie, Ding Dong, Donut, Pizza, Prozac, Pepsi, Plavix diet.
Wow. That's a mouthful there, Dr. Lindell. Well, we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Earl Mandel and his newest book, The Nutrition Bible, The Straight Skinny on Fad Diets, Good Carbs, Good Fats, Good Proteins, and How to Opt Out of the Diabetes Epidemic. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be coming to you live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I will bring my background as a physician and as an attorney to help you with a minimal pharmaceutical and a minimal surgical approach to your medical issues. Please come join me.
So to join in on the conversation, call 888-874-4888. Ask Dr. Eisenstein, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mueller, and I have a brand new show called The Expat Files. And it's all about living, working, playing, or retiring in Latin America. I know what it's like to buy land, build a house, start a business. I've been through it in a dozen Latin countries. So, if you're thinking about moving down or you're just curious, be sure to listen in Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Down Mexico way.
Hey, did you miss your favorite show? Don't worry, PRN has you covered. Just log on to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and go to the archive page where you can choose from any of our great programs. Listen or download shows from yesterday or even ones dating months back. The Progressive Radio Network, striving to make your lives easier.
Hi, I'm Eric Davis, host of Expanding Mind. Join me and co-host Maja Daou each week as we explore the culture of consciousness, spirituality, neuroscience, media tech, and all manner of wonders and esoterica. Expanding Mind streams every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Keep your mind open.
What will be the impact of the Tea Party on the upcoming midterm elections? Who are these Tea Partiers? Are they really only a bunch of right-wing rednecks? Listen in every Thursday night from 7 until 8 Eastern to A More Perfect Union as your host, Bill Thompson, gets the inside stories from actual Tea Party players. Call in with your comments and questions, challenge guests, or show support. A More Perfect Union, Thursday nights, 7 until 8, only on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we would like to thank our underwriters, Nature's Answer. Nature's Answer has been bringing you top quality nutraceuticals for the educated healthcare consumer since 1972. For more information, visit naturesanswer.com. And if you'd like to comment on today's show or any topic that you'd like to see covered or not like to see covered, we take negative comments as well. But we haven't gotten too many of those, but you're welcome to send some in if you feel like you'd like to do that, but just get in touch with us at naturalnurse.com or at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and send all comments, and we will get back to you. And we'd like to thank you for listening to us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Our guest for today is Dr. Earl Mindell. Dr. Mindell is a pharmacist and has authored over 45 books on health and wellness. He is a strong advocate of natural interventions, including nutrition and homeopathy. As a nutritionist, lecturer, and author, Dr. Mindell is excited about the world of nutrition and its relationship to health and wellness. In 1965, when Dr. Mindell opened his first pharmacy, he realized how many drugs people were taking simply to get through the day. As he investigated nutrition, he was excited about its relationship to health and wellness and decided to focus on wellness instead of sick care through drugs. When he wrote his groundbreaking book, The Vitamin Bible, and many more books have followed since then. Today, we are discussing his newest book, The Nutrition Bible, The Straight Skinny on Fad Diets, Good Carbs, Good Fats, Good Proteins, and How to Opt Out of the Diabesity Epidemic. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Mindell.
My pleasure.
Now, did you make up this word diabesity, or are other people using that?
You know, it's hard to say. I've been using it for quite a while. I have a couple words that I use. I call myself an infotainer. I bring information to people in an entertaining manner. So maybe I did the same thing with the diabetes.
You've been doing this a long time before the web and Newspeak came into being.
Oh, absolutely. I've been doing this for over 45 years. And the difference is more people are listening today only because of the cost of sickness. I mean, I could close half the hospitals in this country. If people knew what I knew and tried to adhere, you can do one step at a time. If they started to take better care of themselves, imagine we're living 78 years on the average, no matter what we do to ourselves. We're only living about 25% of our life potential. It's pathetic.
It's true. So the thing is, though, I know your book, The Vitamin Bible, was really groundbreaking in its day. It had the most information available. When I got that book, I said, this is great, and I'm sure there's a lot of updates since then as well.
Well, as a matter of fact, in about a month from now, the 30th anniversary of the Vitamin Bible, the new Vitamin Bible is coming out. It's been updated completely, 40% new things. It's been on the market now for 30 years in 33 languages.
Oh, that is impressive. Well, make sure that we get a copy and we'll bring you back on for that book.
Love to. It's something that I think that, unfortunately, America is a sickness-oriented country. We know nothing about being healthy. In fact, if you're a health enthusiast, you're called a nut.
That's
right?
True.
But if you're a sickie, you're part of the establishment. Isn't that a little bit nonsensical? I mean, everybody knows about the ounce of prevention is equivalent to a pound of cure, but we don't do anything about it. And we are continuing to do what we've done in the past, and it's not working. I mean, we are way down the list when it comes to longevity, sickness. We're number one when it comes to being overweight, though. There's no doubt about it.
We're number one. That's a sad state of affairs. But I do want you to tell us, you talked about the sugar habit and how much sugar is snuck in. I mean, it's in things like ketchup and places people would never imagine, like cottage cheese.
Everything.
Someone just showed me their cottage cheese. It was full of chemicals and preservatives. The thing is, of course, you could choose organic and make a better choice.
Correct.
But when you're looking at how would someone start to kick a sugar habit, since that's a real basis for this diabetes?
Yes. Well, number one, fortunately now we are allowed to use a sugar substitute called stevia, S-T-E-V-I-A. It was banned in the United States because the sugar lobby was afraid of it, but now it's back. So you can get stevia, and instead of adding the typical white sugar, try stevia. Then try to get yourself off, wean yourself off. It's not easy, but you can do it. See, there's a psychological problem, too, because when you were a little girl, a little boy, if you did something your parents liked, they rewarded you with sugar, right?
That's true.
Cakes, pies, ice cream, desserts. And if you're a bad little boy or a bad little girl, they said, go up to your room, you can't have your dessert. So sugar is a definitely addictive substance, and the problem is excess sugar in the body is stored in the form of fats. That's the big problem in the country. We're, it's not so much eating the fat, it's eating the processed sugar.
So it's the processed sugar which is in so many things.
It's in everything.
So how do you suggest that someone starts to kick that habit? I mean, the first, I would say just like with an alcohol addiction, first you have to admit that you have a problem.
Exactly, exactly. You have to admit it, then you have to start reading labels and substituting things that have it in there. You see, it's like salt. We have a taste. Salt and sugar are put together because of the taste. Of course, salt is also a preservative. But once you get off the taste of salt, you don't crave it anymore.
So first you have to make the effort and stop.
Exactly. You got to, once again, try drinking water instead of soft drinks. I mean, do you know that the average American is drinking 5 soft drinks a day?
Well, that's a certain first step that would make a lot of sense for most people. I usually give people who come for nutritional counseling some substitute to have with them. For instance, I find organic brown rice cakes are a good substitute because they're high in fiber. They have no sugar other than any that might occur naturally in brown rice, but none is added. And it's something you can munch on the road. You can take them in your car. They don't go bad. Because I think sometimes, you know, people get hungry and they just go into their closest place and get a candy bar, a soda, or a bagel.
Exactly. Well, here's another fast food that I think is wonderful. They're called apples and bananas and blueberries and strawberries. You see, all the good stuff that doesn't have a label on it is what you should be eating. It's real simple. People say, is this a difficult thing? No, it's not difficult. Buy products that don't have labels on them.
Exactly. That's a great way to start. There's no paragraph, and that means there's no chemicals added. Of course, do you feel that it's important to go organic when you can?
Absolutely. Go organic or either wash or scrub your vegetables and fruit. And even bananas, you know, the peel of the banana can have insecticides, et cetera. So you got to be really – it's amazing that we're getting things in our body that we don't even know about. So try to buy organic if you can. They say, well, it's a little more expensive. So what? I think you're worth it.
You know, it isn't that much more expensive. What I tell people is if they go into a specialty organic store and they buy the gourmet items, those are expensive. But if you look at something like broccoli, it's like $1.29 instead of 99 cents.
Yep.
So it's not really a tremendous amount of money. You don't have to be wealthy.
Not only that, but you see, if there was more of a demand for a product, the prices would go down.
That's
as simple as that. Yeah, this country is based on the concept of convenience foods, comfort foods, which are going to basically kill us. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We are killing ourselves with our knives and forks, and if you don't eat with a knife and fork, with our hands, by eating foods that that people don't even take time to digest. They inhale them. I mean, would you go to a fast food restaurant for a leisurely dinner? No. You go there. In fact, they don't even go there anymore. They go to a drive-through window.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things you can do. First, you have to make it your business to take care of yourself, because isn't it true that it's more what we do than what our doctor does?
Yes. I hate to tell you, but we could, say, once again, close half the hospitals, and the physician is a wonderful person to help people who are sickly. But how about if you're healthy? They'll tell you, I don't have time for that. Well, you've got to take the responsibility of your health in your own hands. If you want to be sick, don't worry about a thing. It's going to happen. Guaranteed.
Well, you know, it depends on the steps you take. I mean, what are your feelings in terms of how genetics come into play with your state of health?
8%.
You said 8%?
Yeah, 8%.
So that's very low.
Unless you live in some place where you get married to your cousins or something, of course it's very low. I mean, let's be realistic. It doesn't seem that genetics is a problem in other countries, only when people talk about it here. Look at the Japanese. The Japanese are a very homo type of society, and they live the longest.
That's true. And, of course, that's changing as the fast food restaurants are moving into those areas.
Correct.
We can see a one-to-one change.
Yes, I go to Japan quite often. There's a restaurant chain there called Makodonadodo, which translates in English, McDonald's.
Wow.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that, I think, with the history of the late 20th century and early 21st century is recorded, our biggest contribution to the world will be, unfortunately, fast food, which is not very convenient, not very beneficial for our health of the world.
Unfortunately, that's so true, but I guess it is good for the corporate pocketbook.
Well, listen, I'm not against corporate. I mean, I think they should do as well as they can. But when you brainwash people about eating foods that are not good for them, then there's something wrong. We should at least have alternatives. You see, we don't have alternatives. For instance, in this country, there's only two countries in the world now, the United States and New Zealand, that allow the advertisement of prescription drugs directly to the public. Don't you think there should be an alternative to that?
Now, have you looked at the verbiage in the new healthcare legislation at all? Do you think that's supportive of wellness versus illness?
No. It's not healthcare. It's sickness care. It has nothing to do with health.
I actually agree with you totally.
Yeah.
It does not look too healthy.
Nothing whatsoever to do with health. That's what we don't understand. We're not promoting health. We're promoting sickness care. And that's where the money is, unfortunately. So wake up. Start to take the responsibility of your health in your own hands. New Year is coming up. Make a New Year's resolution to take as good care of yourselves as you do, once again, dog, cat, automobile, rosebush, and front lawn.
That's a good thing to suggest, Dr. Mendel. Now, in your book, the first chapter, really, just about as we get started, is on detoxification.
Yes.
And that is something you'd have to wonder, boy, what's that doing in a food in a book about nutrition?
Well, hey, if you're not absorbing the nutrients, if you're not digesting them, you're not going to have the full advantage of it. So I think we should, there are liver cleansers, there are things called probiotics, which we're starting finally to hear about in this country. It's about time. Everybody should be taking a probiotic formula. Those are the good bacteria that helps you digest foods, that helps you assimilate the nutrients, that helps prevent things like diarrhea, constipation, and also helps with your immune system. I mean, that's the big problem in this country is we are really not taking care of our body in the sense of the immune system.
And what are some of the things you would suggest to enhance your immune system?
Well, there's an herb called that is available called milk thistle that helps cleanse the liver. There are all kinds of things that I talk about, but I think drinking enough water is important, and, of course, probiotics. I can't stress enough how important it is to probiotics. People know about yogurt. They've heard that there's probiotics in yogurt. Well, unfortunately, most of the yogurt that you eat has been pasteurized so that the probiotics are no longer available unless it says that it has live culture in the yogurt. So read the label. But I take a probiotic supplement every day, and it also helps with normal laxation. I mean, it's amazing. It's a good thing that we need the good organisms in our gastrointestinal tract. In fact, in this country, we have more bad ones than good ones.
Well, that's interesting. Have people actually tested that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's well known in Europe and Asia. It's so obvious that a lot of the products that we eat have antibiotics in them. Anti means against, bios means life. Now, the antibiotics also kill the good organisms as well.
Well, as a pharmacist, I'm sure that you learned all about antibiotics. And
we sure did.
They're just so vastly overprescribed.
Absolutely, but not only that, they're given to our farm animals, too.
Now, what happens
realize.
When they give them to farm animals?
Well, if you eat the if you eat the animals, eventually it's going to end up in your body, too.
That's true. And people don't actually realize that, and how much, you know, you're talking about drinking water, too. So many drugs are in the water now because of the runoff. So I imagine that's why you're talking about the filter.
That's why you should definitely filter the water you drink. You know, that's a whole other subject. In fact, I have a book on it called Prescription Alternatives that talks about the runoffs of the drug. They find the rivers are loaded with all these different prescription drugs. Small amounts, but it's still there. And it's getting worse, not better. We're finding out that the average elderly now is taking 5 drugs a day, up to 15.
Let's talk a little bit about insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. Those terms are kind of used to replace each other at times, but they mean similar things. So what is insulin resistance?
Well, it's real simple. We have a gland called the pancreas. When you eat sugar, the pancreas has to basically drop the sugar level in the body by secreting insulin. If you are naturally not a person that the pancreas secretes insulin, type 1 diabetics don't secrete insulin, but there's a very small percent of the diabetics. So if it gets to a point where the pancreas can no longer produce enough insulin, or the insulin becomes resistant, that's what happens. You can eventually have a problem with so-called type 2 diabetes. It's not as simple as that, but to make it simplistic, that's the way I like to describe it.
So then what happens?
Well,
what's
then
the
what happens?
Problem with getting it?
If you are a type 2 diabetic, your chances of becoming blind, of having neuropathy, of having cardiovascular, heart problems, kidney problems, greatly increase. I mean, it's they say that they don't call diabetes a major cause of death because it's the other problems that are involved. But I think if they did, it would probably be the fourth leading cause of death in the United States would be diabetes.
Yes, I'm sure it would if they clumped that in as the secondary side effects. I know people who have lost their legs, for instance.
Correct.
You know,
amputation.
It's not a fun thing to have. But
no.
Even when you get insulin resistance, you may not get diagnosed with diabetes. There could be many years when it's even called something like hypoglycemia.
Correct.
It could happen. It's on the other side of the sugar spectrum, but that causes a lot of health issues as well. Tiredness, fatigue, not gaining weight when you don't know why, etc.
Exactly. So if you're having any of those side effects, you should be checked by a competent physician to make sure that you are not a so-called pre-diabetic, because there's millions of Americans that are pre-diabetic. It's probably 40-odd million that are diabetic and probably as many that are pre-diabetic.
Well, let's talk a little bit about abdominal fat, because that's something people can actually monitor on themselves, abdominal obesity.
Here's what I tell people. Get undressed in front of a full-length mirror and take a look at yourself. You will know if you have excess amount of fat. It could be belly fat, could be under the chin, hips. That's where the excess fat is stored.
Now, I know there's something about measuring, you know, like a hip-to-waist ratio.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily do even just with a tape measure.
Yep.
Because sometimes you don't really look like you're that heavy, and yet you can have abdominal obesity.
Well, if your waist is over about 48
inches,
well,
that's pretty big. Yeah.
You're in big trouble, okay? For women, of course, it would be less. But there are scales where you can easily look and see the so-called BMI, et cetera. But it's not that difficult. I mean, people know if they're overweight. All of a sudden, they put on some clothing that they haven't worn for a while, and it's a little tight. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells you that things shrink while they're hanging in your closet.
Yeah,
don't
right.
You know that, Dr.
Things shrink. So,
yeah.
And this type of year, this time of year from Thanksgiving to New Year's, the average American can gain anywhere from 2 to 6 or 8 pounds more of weight. So be careful.
What I personally do, because of course I'm sure you are too, invited to lots of extra festivities and where you know there's going to be all kinds of food, what I do is I eat first at home before I go.
Okay.
I eat my usual healthy food, so I don't go there hungry. Then I look around at all the goodies that they have, and I decide which things I really do want to taste and then I just take a small piece of it. So instead of going there starving and filling up and in January being upset because your clothes don't fit, you know, this is sort of taking the bull by the horns and being proactive and preventive. So you don't wind up. I know all of us health practitioners, and I'm sure you pharmacists as well, one of our busiest months is January.
Yep.
Because everyone has overeaten. Not only do they gain weight, but they usually get colds, flus, and all kinds of things from the extra calorie content that the body needs to deal with.
Well, a good rule of thumb is if you're going out to one of those parties, you want to do that, drink a full glass of water and eat an apple. Apple is a good source of fiber, pectin, and you'll eat less. Also, don't eat standing up.
Now, do you have any special apples that you like better than others?
Well, my favorite are Macintosh. I love Macintosh apples. But that's only my favorite. There's all kinds of them. Go to you can get all kinds of organic apples available in most places in the country.
So I know I actually really like Granny Smith because they're actually even less sweet.
Yeah.
So that's why I like those green ones.
I don't care what you eat. Just try eating fruit instead of and vegetables instead of the average person is only getting 2 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. An apple is a serving, by the way. 2, and even the government says we should be getting 5 to 9. I think it should be more like 11 to 15 servings of fruits and vegetables a day.
Well, every time they come out with new recommendations, they up that number.
Exactly. And for another 20 years, they'll be up to where I'm talking about. Because I'm about 20 years ahead of my time. I was 30 years ahead of my time with the Vitamin Bible, telling people, hey, you've got to understand that the processed food people, they don't want you to know that their food is not right up to snuff. In fact, even the government makes some of these companies put in some synthetic vitamins and minerals just to keep them happy. But that's not really what it's all about. I recommend a natural, all-natural food-grade multiple vitamin and mineral that you can take on a daily basis. And the secret of success is consistency every day, not just once in a while, not in the winter, but all the time.
Well, that's a good thing to say. Right. In the summer, it's a little easier, though, to eat light. I think in the winter is when it becomes more challenging and more of the comfort foods kind of sneak in there.
Your body works 24 hours a day, and you want it to continue to be healthy. You see, I'm still a young man. I'm only going to be 71 in January, and I'm in great shape. Why? Because I've been taking care of myself. People say, oh, it's genetically. No, it's not. My father and mother were not in very good shape. It has nothing to do with genetics in my case. It has to do with working at it. You've got to work at being healthy. You don't have to work at being sick at all.
Well, I watched a video on YouTube the other day. I don't know if you've seen it yet, with a gentleman who's 109.
Mm-hmm.
And that video is amazing. I mean, he looks maybe in his 60s. He's totally, totally in excellent shape, and he proclaims the exact same program that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, he eats just whole foods, and they're like raw state or, let's say, cooked a little bit.
And, of course, we eat too much, period. I mean, that's pretty evident that they've done that with laboratory animals where they cut the amount of food and they do live longer. But that's not easy to do. I think you got to start. Make a concerted effort. Take one thing at a time. The Nutrition Bible is really, that's what I wrote it for. I wanted people to understand that there are ways that you can really take charge of your health if you want to. If you don't want to, forget it. Just continue on, and you can call 911. The guys come with a stretcher and take you to the nearest emergency room.
Well, yeah, so you're saying that a lot of that is your choice.
It's
actually very exciting because it means that we are in control of our health and wellness, especially as we age. It's easy when you're 20, but when we get into our sixth and seventh decades like you and I, then we see the fruits of the labor, and it was so worth it. Because to me, it's not a deprivation to not eat junky food. I prefer healthy food, but some of that comes from creating that habit.
Well, no doubt about it. It's all habit. It's all a matter of good choices. And, you know, people say, well, I'm in a habit. I have bad habits. Well, you can also have good habits, too. So wake up. It's a new year coming. Start taking better care of yourself. It's not that difficult. It's easy, and the rewards are phenomenal. I mean, it's not how long you live. It's the quality of life. I mean, big deal. We live an extra 6 months or a year and have all the problems involved. You want to die. And this is kind of, I know it drives people crazy when I say this, but you want to die from natural causes. And we're not dying from natural causes. We're dying from all these chronic illnesses and degenerative diseases.
Well, as usual, in your book, Dr. Earl Mendez's Nutrition Bible, and when I say as usual, because it's similar to other books where you give tons of specific information, I love your section on great grains, such as amaranth and quinoa.
Quinoa, yeah. I mean, some of these words people have never even heard of. So other cultures have used these grains over the centuries, and we've never even heard of them. So go into one of these whole food stores and check it out and ask people what they recommend. You'll be amazed at what's available.
Well, how do you cook quinoa?
It's a little more difficult. It's not about it. I'm not a cook myself, but I do have some.
It's easy. That's what I like about it, because you can get home late and cook quinoa in less than 15 minutes. And one of the things that is so great about that.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. But I mean, I'm not really a cook myself. My wife takes care of that. But
oh boy, you're lucky.
But all I can say is there are alternatives to everything that are available, readily available, but no one's ever heard of it. For instance, I talk about feverfew, F-E-V-E-R-F-E-W. It's an herb that was first written about in 1649. It's over 300 years ago, almost 350. And it's used against migraine headaches. People say, well, how come I didn't know about that? Because it slipped through the cracks, and the drug companies want you to buy the expensive drugs. They don't want you to use something that is not patentable, that is readily available. So you've got to basically educate yourself.
Yeah, but all these things are available, and you talk about it in your book and ways that people can access this information. You also talk about fasting. Sometimes people are a little afraid of fasting, but you have a wonderful moderate fast instruction here.
Well, if you know any of the religions, the Orthodox religious people, they'll fast all the time. I mean, the Orthodox Jews, the Muslims, and so I'm not talking about, you know, a 30-day fast. I'm talking about maybe one day a week wouldn't be a bad idea. I think we just overeat anyway, so it wouldn't be a bad idea if you wanted to do that. If you have any condition, of course, you should check with your practitioner before you do any of this.
Well, it's always a good idea to throw that in, to check with your practitioner. Unfortunately, many healthcare practitioners, and I am a professor at a medical school, really are not too knowledgeable in this art and science. So
absolutely.
They're getting to be more so, but certainly people can take these actions into their own hands in terms of eating healthy and exercising and having positive thoughts.
Well, that's one of the 10 core principles. Find a holistic physician that can work with you. Not just tell you what to do, but to work with you. A physician should be a partner when it comes to your health. And what's happening today is we've delegated the authority of our sickness to the medical people, and our health we just ignore.
Yes, that's true. And it's, you know, because the doctor says to take a drug, like the cholesterol-lowering drugs are so big now.
Mm-hmm. And who's ever heard of psyllium, P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M, which helps to lower cholesterol? I have a whole chapter in the book about cholesterol-lowering foods like apples and bananas and carrots and some type of fish. The omega-3 and grapefruits, and amazing. So there are things that you can help to lower your cholesterol naturally, but we wait until it hits the magic number, and then over 200 milligrams percent per deciliter, boom, it's Lipitor time.
And what's wrong with that?
We don't have enough time.
No, we don't, because we're almost out of time.
Every prescription drug has a side effect. Or many side effects.
And as a pharmacist, I'm sure you're well schooled in that.
Yes. So why not use something natural instead of, if you have to, fine, but I think what we're doing is shooting mice with elephant guns instead of really trying to do something naturally.
Well, that's all great information, and I want to thank you so much for being our guest today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we have been talking with Dr. Earl Mendel, and we're reviewing just his latest of 45 books. This one's called Dr. Earl Mendel's Nutrition Bible, The Straight Skinny on Fad Diets, Good Carbs, Good Fats, Good Proteins. So it's all about good stuff. And How to Opt Out of the Diabesity Epidemic. And you can find out more at DrEarlMendel.com. That's DrEarlMendel.com. Or contact us at naturalnurse.com, and we'll point you in the direction. Remember, this show, along with all our other shows and everyone's shows at Progressive Radio Network, are archived on the web. So if you'd like to listen to it again or send any of your friends and loved ones to join in, please send them to the website. And do you have any closing words for our audience, Dr. Mendel?
Well, it's the holiday season, so happy holidays to everybody. Watch your tummy.
Sounds good. And thank you so much for joining us today. And thank
Bye-bye.
You, listeners, for joining us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.